All right, brethren, let's be turning to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Now, John the Baptist was called of God, and he was greatly blessed by God to prepare the heart of the people, to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. He was called and blessed of God for this purpose, and he's unique among all men in that he himself is the lone forerunner to Christ. God had been silent for 400 years. That was the last time that a prophet had spoken in Israel. 400 years. And that's recorded in the book of Malachi. That's the last prophetic book written. And it was 400 years until this man's voice was lifted up in the wilderness. Our Lord was speaking to the Jews, and he asked them, he said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? You guys went out into the wilderness. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? What were you expecting to see? Were you just out there looking for wildlife and nature? Reeds and grasses blown in the wind?" No. And he asked them again in Matthew 11, 8. He said, "What did you go out for to see? What did you go out there for? Were you looking for a man, a fancy man clothed in soft raiment?" He said, "Those people in brushed Egyptian cotton, they're in king's palaces. These are important people, great people among men. That's where you go to see them. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, that's why you went there, to see a prophet, and more than a prophet." You see, when John began his public ministry, when he began to lift up the voice in the wilderness, he came with a much needed message. He came with a much needed message, and God is the one who sent him, so that God attended that word with power and with great glory to the blessing of the people that heard it. And he said in Matthew 11, verse 10, "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." He's quoting there Malachi 3, 1, who spoke of John the Baptist when he should come. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Why are we greater than John the Baptist? Well, because we have the revelation of God. We declare the redemption accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're revealing the mystery of God in the face of Christ. Now, John knew him. John preached Christ, but he preached a message of repentance and a message of preparation for the coming of the Lord. We preach the accomplished redemption of Christ. We preach what he has done for his people, so that the mystery, the mystery of God is now plainly revealed in the face and person of Jesus Christ. Now, we're told that John came in the spirit of Elijah. Christ himself said this. He said, "This is Elijah, which was for to come." And he ministered to the people, being called and blessed of God to fulfill the scripture and to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of Christ. Now, brethren, our God has not gone silent. He's not been silent since John's coming. He continues to raise his voice in the wilderness to teach the people, to prepare his people for the coming of Christ into our hearts. He continues to speak to his people. He gives them a new birth by his calling. And he makes men great in the eyes of the Lord. And he sends men of God to declare this great salvation of what Christ has accomplished for his people. And the world needs this message. They need Christ. We need to hear what our Lord has done and what he teaches us. We need him to enter our hearts, to come in and sit with us and sup with us and minister his grace to us, because we're needy sinners in need of his grace. And so the Lord sends his preachers to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So let's look at John's calling, and there we see a relation in the spiritual blessings of God for his preachers today and for all of you that labor in this ministry and who are fellow helpers of this grace of God declared unto us and to his people here in Christ. Now, in Luke 1, verse 13 is where we'll pick up. Here the angel is ministering this glorious truth to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. And he announces the conception and birth of John. It says, "The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard." And that's a comforting thought. Your God is the God that hears prayer. It may be a long time in coming, but he hears prayer. I'm sure this was the prayer of Zacharias and Elizabeth for many years in the early parts of their marriage. But I don't know that they were continuing to pray that prayer. It had been probably years and years since they prayed for a son. And though it was a long time, yet God says, now's the time. I've heard your prayer. Your God is the God that hears prayer. And he says, "Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now, from the womb, what the Lord is saying is this man's sanctified by God. He's given power by the Lord for this purpose. He's called for a specific purpose, and his purpose was to be the harbinger of Christ, the forerunner of Christ, the one who signaled to the people that Christ is near. The Messiah, the long-expected Messiah, is near. He's near. He's right behind me. And that's what his whole ministry signaled to the people of Israel. And Christ said it this way. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So that those that were prepared of the Lord, they saw the coming of Christ. They didn't miss him. He came to them and they saw him. They witnessed the Savior of men. Now, others have been noted in Scripture as well of being called by God from their mother's womb. For example, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, "The Lord says to him, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Paul also speaks of this calling as well. He said it this way to the Galatians. He said, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." What is the Lord saying to us in speaking of these men who are called from the belly of their mothers, right from the womb? It's to assure them. It's to say to them, "You men whom I've raised up and I'm sending out to this wicked world, you're going to face fierce opposition. You're going to face fierce opposition from those who will not hear, who will not bow to this glorious message of my salvation." It's to comfort them and to assure them that I've raised you up. I've sent you. So that's what the Lord is saying to these men about their being brought forth and called from the womb. It's to say that to us, for us to understand. And there's many scriptures which cite this from the Psalms. And they say the same thing, that the Lord calls his people from the womb, as opposed to the wicked, which we're told are estranged from the womb. They go astray right from the womb. The Lord's speaking to us of his calling, of his choosing, of his divine election of his people. And so the scriptures declare, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. All these scriptures are given to us to reveal to us, to make known to us the mystery of God, that he gives a new birth by nature. We don't understand the things of God. By nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins, and the Lord is telling us, I call my people from the womb. From the womb, thou hast the dew of thy youth. That is, his people. Think about this, Johnny. His people have the vigor of life forever in Christ. That vigor of youth forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that by the resurrection of power that raised our Lord from the dead is the same power of our calling. It's the same power which gives us life, giving us the Spirit of God, and raises us to newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're given a new birth. A new birth by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and fulfilled, established the covenant of God's grace with his own blood. With his own blood. And so that same power raises every chosen child of God from the dead and gives us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's our womb? Where's our womb? What womb were we called from? Well, the scriptures teach, the apostles tell us that our old man was crucified with Christ. We died with him. We are in Christ. He is our womb. We died with him. And when he was laid in the grave, we were laid in the grave. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him and are born again, born anew. That life is promised to us. It's our inheritance in Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're called of God, and every preacher of the gospel, therefore, is born again, called of God from the womb, just like John the Baptist, called unto this grace in Christ. Now, being born again and called of God, our God makes his children to know what true greatness is. All right, back in Luke chapter 1, Luke 1:15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. You want to know what true greatness is? Greatness is that greatness which is great in the sight of the Lord. That's true greatness. Men of this world don't understand what true greatness is. That greatness is contrary. The greatness of God is contrary to the greatness of this world. It is. It is contrary to the greatness of what men call greatness in this world. For example, our Lord says to us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Many think that they're aligned with God. Many think that they understand God and they know the way to the Lord and they know how to make themselves righteous and acceptable with the Lord. But the scriptures reveal that the thoughts and the ways of man are carnal ways. They're fleshly ways. They're ways of death. The thoughts and the ways of man are the ways of death, and they don't lead to life. We need the grace of God to give us life. We need God's mercy and grace, which is only given to sinners in Christ, in Christ. And so many think they're aligned with God, but they're not. Our Lord said it this way, whosoever hath not, and he's saying hath not the Spirit, hath not the life of God by the Spirit, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Because a lot of people can be religious, and a lot of people can have a form of religion and be dead. The Pharisees were called whitewashed sepulchers by our Lord. On the outside, they looked clean and white and pretty, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. We need the grace of God. We need Him to deliver us from a form of religion, a dead letter form of religion. And we won't see it unless He gives us eyes to see it. We're not going to figure it out. We're going to justify ourselves and assume that we are right on track until the Lord reveals to us who the true and living God is and shows us our God and our Savior and what He's accomplished for me, the sinner. He's going to show that to His child. He's going to make us to know what He's done. The scriptures tell us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. They're simply foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And by nature, we won't discern it. We'll come so close to the truth and yet miss it by a mile. We'll seem like we're right there and yet not see the Lord who's standing right in front of us. We won't see it by nature. Now, another way that men miss it is, just look at this world for a moment. Men look at greatness as having wealth, having education. They look at greatness as being influential and having power and influence over other men. That's the greatness of men. And so they go into politics. They want to be a president or a prime minister or a bureaucrat, right? They want to be corporate CEOs, superstars, rock stars, and entertainers. And they say, that's greatness. Look at them. They're recognized by so many people in the world. That's the greatness of man. But turn over to Luke chapter 3. Look at Luke chapter 3, and we'll just read verses 1 and 2. These are verses that we typically just move right on past very quickly as we read them. But it's saying something to us. The Lord is saying something to us here in Luke 3, verse 1 and 2. It's in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. That's a man that the world says is great. Caesar. Wow. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch, or the king of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Luke numbers seven men considered great in the eyes of people in the world. These are popes and cardinals, and these are great men, kings and rulers and despots and tyrants of the world, rulers of the world and kings in their own eyes. And these men, the world says, they're great. They're great. And that's what the world aspires to. They want their children to be like these people, right? And they teach and train their kids, their sons and daughters, you do whatever it takes to be just like them, to be great in the world. You make any sacrifice for these things, for the riches and the power and the recognition of the world. They tell them, you bear and you partake of anything they have you do. You make any sacrifice that you need to make so you can be great in the earth. And yet we see here that God passed by all seven of those great persons. He went right on by every single one of them, and he goes to a little unknown man in the wilderness. And there he gives that man His word, this precious word that we need of the salvation of God. And the rest of them remained in darkness. Now, what do you want for your children? You want your children to be great in the world and yet have no inheritance in eternal things? Or do you want them to have the inheritance of eternal life? That's the greatness. That's what we want to teach our children. And we want to be careful with that, to teach our children what true greatness is. It's what the Lord calls greatness. It's what the Lord gives to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. It's actually abomination in the sight of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And so God is the one that makes men great. And he makes them great according to eternal things. And they're great men and women who live forever. They live forever in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our salvation. He's our inheritance. He's our all. And so God makes all his saints, first they're born again, and he makes all his saints to know what God highly esteems. He makes all his people to know the greatness of the Lord. He makes his people to know who the greatness of God is. And what I'm getting at is he makes us to know Christ. He makes us to know him who is the very greatness of God. And he tells us, you know, that the Lord, who is the greatness of God, he says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. If you would be great in the sight of the Lord, it's going to come through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to come in the humility of humbling ourselves. And the Lord's going to do it. He's going to bring us to be humbled before the Lord and to seek him. Lord, save me. He's going to give us a new birth, because our first birth isn't sufficient. Doesn't matter who your parents are. Doesn't matter what estate you're born to and or what you can or can't do naturally. That's not salvation. Christ is salvation. And he's going to give his people a new birth, and he's going to give his people to know him who is the very greatness of God. And they who come to God in Christ, they're great in the sight of the Lord. They also are great in the sight of the Lord. We come in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, great men are made so by the grace and the power of God through Jesus Christ. And great men are sent of God with this glorious gospel message of Jesus Christ. We come declaring the good news of the King. We come declaring what he has sent us to say, which is salvation has come. The salvation of God is here. God saves sinners. God sent his Son. The Son of God came in the flesh, which is to say he came like you and I to suffer and to die for the sins of his people, because we can't save ourselves. We cannot work ourselves out of this. We can't pay off our debt. We're sinners, condemned before God by our own works, even the best of our best works. They're insufficient to save us. And so the Lord has sent this good news that, sinners, salvation has come. Christ has redeemed his people. Our King has laid down his own life to pay the price for his people, to give his people life in and by himself. And God is pleased. How do you know that? Because God has raised him from the dead. And you that hope in him are raised from the dead in him. And Christ is your inheritance. He's your life. He's your greatness. Trust him. Come to God in him. Now Luke 1:16, chapter 1:16 says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. There's many in Israel, and we know this because we see the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the lawyers and those people that were of power and were in the chief in that whole group there of the officers and the people who controlled things in Israel. And they didn't believe the message of God of John. And they didn't submit themselves to what John was preaching. And they weren't baptized. They didn't receive that baptism administered by John to the people. But there were multitudes that did. There were many that heard his word and that believed and delighted in what he said. Our Lord said there were many that for a time rejoiced in the light that John shone forth. They rejoiced in that light. And it's because when John came, he was showing them that it's not our works that save us. It's not our form of religion that saves us. It's Christ that saves. And so God's faithful ministers, like John, that same message is needed today, that through the preaching of Christ crucified, that's how we turn the hearts of the people to the Lord. That's how we turn God's people to the Lord, is through the preaching of Christ crucified. And so this is speaking here of the Messiah. The prophecy declares that John would go before Christ. It says he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. John is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And what it declares to us is that all men and all women, Jew or Gentile, educated, uneducated, rich or poor, whoever you are, all need this salvation. And Jesus Christ alone is the very salvation of God for all his people throughout the world. There's one Savior. There's not many religions, not many paths, not many ways to God. There's one way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our God sent his Son, who took upon him flesh in the form of a servant. He came as a nobody. A nobody. And people who were great in their own eyes despised him and rejected him and esteemed him not. And yet he came in the form of a servant and died as the substitute of his people, to put away our sins from us forever, and to give us life in himself, and to give us an understanding and a knowledge of our God and what he's done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we know the salvation of God. We know the Savior. We know the greatness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come and delivered us from the eternal wrath and judgment of God. And we're told in Luke 1, verse 17, that he shall go before him, this is John, shall go before Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so when John was sent of the Lord was using him to preach repentance to the Jews. He was preaching repentance to the Jews. What does that mean? He was saying to them, stop trusting in your birth for being the natural descendants of Adam. That's not your salvation. Stop trusting in your works under the law of Moses. That's not your righteousness. You're missing what those things were given to say, what they were given to declare to us. Stop trusting your fleshly understanding of looking for a temporal, carnal, fleshly Messiah like unto yourselves, because that's not how he's coming. He's spiritual. He came in the flesh, but he gives life in the spirit, because by nature we're dead in trespasses and sins. The one who you're looking for is an eternal Savior. The one who you're looking for is sent of God to save sinners. Not people who have made themselves righteous by their own works and by their birth and by their lineage and by their will, but their sake, Christ came to save sinners. And he's going to make you and I to know that we ourselves, I'm the chief of sinners. He's going to make me to know I need this salvation. I need his blood. I'm not saved because I'm standing here preaching to you. I'm saved by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you are. We come the same way in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John came saying, stop looking to these fleshly, carnal, outward things that you think is your salvation, and look to Christ, because you're going to miss him. He's going to walk right on by you. And so he preached that Christ comes to give spiritual life. He preached Christ that he is the Lamb of God, sent of the Father to lay down his life for the sins of the world, meaning his people scattered across the world, Jew or Gentile. He saves his people. He described Christ as him which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Right? I can do a form of religion. You and I, we can partake in the outward form of religion. We can sing the hymns. We can get baptized. We can come up to the table and partake of the bread and the wine. But that's not our salvation. Christ is our salvation. Man looks at the form of his religion to save him. And the Lord points out to us that my form might be better than your form, or your form might be better than my form. And yet, if God isn't, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're on the outside looking in. And that one whose form isn't may not be perfect is rejoicing in Christ. Because the Lord saves his people by his Spirit. And he makes us to know, I can't save myself. And I don't even trust myself. I trust Christ, that he's everything. And that's what he makes his children to know, the true greatness of God. Because I can make the outward look great and white and shiny and clean and be dead on the inside. We know it can be done because we see it in the scriptures, making it known to us. And so John declared an everlasting and spiritual Savior. They were looking for a carnal Savior. And when Christ came, the Lamb of God, he pointed him out. There he goes. And only a couple disciples followed him. Only a couple people went off and followed, looking after Christ. And the masses didn't even know it. And so God's preachers today, we declare the accomplished redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And we turn people from trusting their good works in religion, in the name of religion, to save them, and to look to the servant of God, that lowly servant of God who the natural eye doesn't see, and the natural eye misses him, and we declare Christ and exalt him, and God, in grace and mercy, gives life to his people, a new birth, so that they see what God sees, and they see as God intends his people to see, and they see the Lord Jesus Christ. John pointed out Christ to his disciples, and that's what we're sent to do. Who he is, what he came to accomplish, and for whom he did this for. We show men and women Christ. We preach Christ, and the ministers of God were sent to shine a light as a city on a hill, to show Christ, to preach Christ, not dead letter forms of religion. We're sent to reveal that hidden mystery, because there's a lot of form in here. It's laid out. And people look at that and say, there it is. I mean, the Jews looked at that and said, this is what he said to do. It's this right here in the law. This is what he said to do. And they didn't see that what the law was saying is Christ. Look to Christ. He's everything. It's all speaking of Christ. And that's the mystery revealed, is that we can look in the scriptures, the whole thing, and miss Christ. But if God be gracious and merciful to us, we'll see him. And we'll turn from dead letter religion, trusting what we do or don't do, to believing the Lord and Savior that God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the grace of God is what turns the heart of man to look into the face of Jesus and to see the very light of God shining in the darkness of this heart, to know there's my life. He's my salvation. He's the very Savior of God. And then we follow him, and he leads us out of darkness, and he teaches us and instructs us by giving us his Spirit and giving us that hope in Christ. And all those grave cloths and scales fall from our eyes, and we're delivered through the preaching of the gospel. And he unwraps those things and takes us out of trusting in those things to trust in Christ. And he keeps us and leads us in the way of his righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what we're sent to do, but this is the work of the Spirit of God. I can't turn your heart. I can't make you do or not do. The Spirit of God is the one who comes and takes up residence in your heart and turns you to the Lord Jesus Christ to hear him. And so This is our message, just like John. Look to the Lord. There he is. I want you to see that he is the successful Savior, that he is the Savior who gives you his Spirit, a new birth, not in the oldness of the letter of the law, not in the oldness of this flesh and this old man, but he gives a new birth, and he makes you great in Christ, and he makes you to see the greatness of Christ. Though you are lowly and weak and simple and a fool and a base thing of the earth and cast off and rejected by the earth, that's okay if they don't like you. You're called of the Lord, and you're his people. So look to Christ and continue in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what he does. He turns us to behold the Lamb of God. And I pray that our Lord does that for each and every one of us in our hearts, turning us to Christ. Amen.